Blog Talk Radio.
On Wheels Now.
Welcome to On Wheels Now, your inside look at locomotive sports. Live from Las Vegas, hosting tonight with myself, the man on a mission, Gary White.
How you doing?
What's happening, man?
Same old.
I haven't seen you in a couple of days.
No, you haven't. You've been.
I'm trying to keep my social distance from you.
So. Yes.
Hey, which also, is good. Also, can't forget Matt Esposito. Thanks for being here.
Speaking of social distancing,
yeah,
I'm way over here.
That's right. That's still the way I like to keep it with you.
Yeah.
We got some great guests tonight. I'm going to probably say it all wrong, but we got the young driver here from LVMS in the Legends, Enzo LaLama.
Yep.
Okay. And I didn't put you down because I didn't know if you wanted to be part of it or not. You're Mark. You're Enzo's father.
Yeah, I'm Enzo's
father.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry I didn't put you down, but I'll make sure we're on there.
Okay.
But, you know, great to have you guys here. We appreciate you being here.
Well,
thanks for having us.
In his defense, when before the mics came on, he said, "You're going to do all the talking." So.
That's right. And so far, it hasn't been that long.
That's right.
But anyways, just want to put it out there. Everybody, they out there with the social distances and all that. And they just announced something about the gatherings of 10 and under, to be okay, but anything above that
is not okay.
Well, yeah, and they're supposed to be enforcing some of that stuff. So,
yeah.
So watch out.
We made it.
Yeah, we're close, but yeah. So some weird things going on, of course, in Vegas, and we just all have to roll with it. It's affecting all of us as racers, but also in other parts of all our lives. So, but. In the meanwhile, we still will roll on and do the things that we enjoy doing and as much as we can. So, and again, Matt, I know you were questioning if you may even was able to possibly come in or not. So I'm glad to see you here. So,
yeah, I'm here.
Yeah. Well, hey.
Well, traffic's been amazing.
You've been able to get around, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I guess we'll start real quick. Mark, again, sorry I didn't give you as many kudos as I should have, but thanks again for being here, and I guess we'll start off with you, Mark.
Okay.
Since wouldn't it all happen without you?
Right.
You know, I've been around the bull ring and stuff on and off, and I see so many faces out there, and of course there's so many people that race out there, and I don't recognize everybody, and I've probably seen you out there a couple hundred times, but just in passing, but how long have you been involved out at the bull ring?
So we've only been out in the bull ring since last February.
Okay.
In the Legend, but we spent a majority of our time at the go-kart track that's right behind there. Enzo started in karting at 5.
Well, let's get with you, though.
Yeah.
What made you get involved in racing? I mean, what's your involvement? Is this something you've seen and walking around, driving around?
So growing up, I've always loved cars.
Okay.
I worked on cars throughout high school.
Here in Vegas?
No, back on the East Coast in Connecticut.
Oh, okay. So you're from Connecticut?
Yeah.
Okay.
So followed racing with my friends, followed the Whalen Modified Series.
Oh, okay. So you did a lot of racing or followed them back?
Yeah, I
back
followed
east.
Them back
okay.
there. Yeah.
Asphalt or dirt?
It was asphalt.
Okay.
Yeah, it was asphalt. And
which is good to hear for the East Coast, because a lot of times back east, it's mostly dirt racing and all that. So it's good to have some asphalt involvement. I'm an asphalt guy. I like asphalt.
Yeah.
But that's cool. So the Whalen Series.
Yeah, so east. I followed the Whalen Series with some friends. We did go up to Lebanon Valley, New York, and saw some World of Outlaws stuff up there. Not so much though, because it was kind of far from us.
That asphalt also, or
no,
did you use some dirt?
It was some dirt. Yeah, it was a little bit of dirt.
Okay.
So just liking that, and of course drag racing, making cars go fast.
Any kind of racing, anything to do with cars.
Right, anything to do with cars. And then when he was born, when he was four, I got him his first go-kart and let him drive around in the cul-de-sac.
Still back.
No, this was I'm in Vegas now. He's born here. Bought him a go-kart.
What happened in between? Did you happen to see any racing before?
I had followed, in the Wayland Modified Series, my favorite race car driver was Steve Park.
Okay.
So I followed his career, through the Xfinity Series into Cup.
Did you see any of those races back east? Any Xfinity races?
It wasn't until I got to Las Vegas where I started where I got to see NASCAR live. Followed Steve Park's career up until he got into that bad wreck.
Right.
And then always followed NASCAR. And then as years went on, kind of transitioned over to, Formula One is starting to get a lot of coverage. So I started turning my attention. I started focusing some attention that way. With Enzo, I started him Power Wheel, faster Power Wheel, go kart, threw him in there at four. And then he really took to it and I was really surprised. And then I bought a go-kart just to race around with him, and I have this 4-year-old beating me on the street,
Right.
So, when he turned five,
Did you think like at that age?
It sounds crazy. So, you got a 4-year-old behind a 50cc motor.
Right. And then realistically, 50cc for a 4-year-old, that's a lot of horsepower, believe it or not.
But one thing I did was the throttle didn't go down all the way. I had a throttle stop on.
Okay.
So, I would have Enzo on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Mondays. So every weekend, I take a little bit out of the throttle stop.
Oh, smart.
Was it
something you seen out there that you decided, hey, I'm going to leave the throttle stop in longer this time?
There was a couple of times where I'm like,
we're
going to go back in just a little bit. But I went to Walmart. I bought all the material. So I made all the flags. So I had a yellow flag, a green flag, a red flag.
When you first got into that racing part of it, buying the go-kart, it had been a big decision to say, hey, I'm going to buy this kid a go-kart. Was he involved in anything else at four? That made you decide to go that direction?
Well, he learned how to ride a bike at four, and he was jumping off curbs like the next day.
The training wheels off already.
I said, okay, little boy, you're going to do that? So I'm going to put him on a BMX track.
Okay.
So we did a little bit of BMX.
No kidding. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah.
And you actually got to see him on the kind of what his limits were on the BMX track.
Yeah, on the BMX track. Yeah.
Cool.
And then, just kind of kept transitioning.
Was there a particular bike did you go out and seek a bike for him or?
We had this like little crappy little bike.
They weren't the 20-inch bike. They're smaller. Yeah, they must had a division for smaller kids.
They were like super small. And then I got him a racing bike.
Oh, cool.
And
that's funny because it sounds like a progression in his years of racing, but we're talking 4 years old still.
Exactly. And so we progressed. Made it into karting. And by the time he was able to go on the track, he was super prepared. He knew what all the flags were. I also brought him to pole position too.
Okay.
So he could learn how to race around other kids and stuff. And the first time to get him on the pole position, I had to get him a little bit thicker shoe and spike his hair up a little bit to make
to
that
get him the right height to be able to race with the, otherwise they put you in the kid cart or whatever.
Exactly. And, and they had to put pedal extenders on, but
son,
then,
speak a little deeper. Tell him you're 12.
So once we went to pole position, we were in the cul-de-sac.
Did you have the? You already had the racing car.
Yeah, I already
though,
had
but,
the racing
but at
car.
The same time,
yeah.
You're able to.
So.
Do they
so,
have fast lap? Was that open at the time? No.
It was, but
you stuck with the indoor. The
well, because they had the smaller carts and that fast lap, they didn't have.
Remember, so far.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm sorry.
Yeah. So they didn't have the.
Okay.
Yeah, they didn't have the smaller carts, so. So yeah, so now you know he's racing around kids. We're racing in the cul-de-sac.
Quick question, and I don't. Yeah, if you don't mind me asking, are you married?
No.
Okay. Were you married at the time?
No.
Okay. Well, that tells a lot because my wife would say no.
Uh-huh.
That's it. He is not racing until he's at least
16, 21.
21, right? So okay, I was just curious. So,
yeah.
Okay.
So you know we're doing all of this racing, and so by the time he was old enough to go out and compete,
right?
At five, he already knew how to kart handled. He knew what the flags
did,
were.
Did he make any mistakes, like at a pole position, racing with any other kids?
Yeah, he made a couple, but he was lightning compared to the other kids because, like, we were there, like, you know, every Saturday, Sunday.
Oh, no, that's good. The seat time is – it doesn't matter if you're in at pole position or, you know, like you – I think you're getting at
– racing around the cul-de-sac.
And that's –
Did you do any of those endurance races or anything that they put on pole position?
When he got older, we did.
Okay.
But
not at that
Yeah,
age.
not at 4 or 5. No, we're still.
Wait, you act like I'm crazy for asking that at 4 or 5, but this kid's racing at 4. I mean, in 5 years old, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah, so, okay. He did, you know, he did make some mistakes. He he wrecked one of those carts super bad.
Whoa,
yeah.
No kidding.
But it was,
he's
5-6 seconds faster than the field, you know,
that's
and he came around the corner and he just drilled this one kid and it just hearts went everywhere and made this horrendous sound. And then I look and the cart is on top of him.
Oh wow.
Like, you know,
were you worried at that time? Because that's an eye-opener.
I was a little worried, but when I saw him moving around and he got out and then he got back into another one, I was like, okay, everything's fine.
Well, you know, in moments like that where you kind of start thinking, hey, is this did I make the right decision or not? And, you know, but obviously once you see everything's okay, it's good to see a good thing come out of something that happens like that because you learn from it. You know, if you don't learn from it, if it happened 10 other times, and there might be a problem.
I'm still
wrecking it, so I'm still trying to learn myself. But
only six.
Exactly. Yeah, 6, 7 now.
Yeah.
So at that moment, you're probably thinking, oh, crap, you know, is everything okay? And then everybody's, you know, kind of
everything panned out. He was fine, and
actually got in. They actually let him in.
Yeah, they let him back into another one. So
I don't know. Cool. Let's ask Enzo. Do you remember that?
Oh yeah.
Well, we're gonna get to that. We'll see what his memory is and what his memory is. They're two different memories. I know my memories are different than my dad's memories. My memory's all good.
Yeah, let's go ask your dad.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Go ask my dad. Now he's going to tell you different memories. No, that's cool. So the seat time at pole position, that helps a lot because it's in a controlled environment and you have people around that can help regulate the situations and stuff like that. Where at your own home, if you're...
Yeah. And there was one time we were racing around in a cul-de-sac and he didn't clear me very well. I was right on his right side quarter, I guess you call it, and we hit wheels and he went sailing across a bush into the neighbor's driveway and I said, we're putting it away for today.
Right.
Yeah.
Did you going back to the pole position, did you race with him on pole position or you kind of sit out and watch?
So I work at Coca-Cola.
Okay.
And we always did a NASCAR a Coca-Cola racing family driver.
Okay.
And there was one time I got to race with him, all the Herps little
boys,
and they were all in their little carts, and then it was Troy and all of the brothers and Clint Boyer.
Okay. That's cool.
That was cool. And it was and I can't drive, and he'll tell you. I think I could drive, but I can't. But it was it was fun to race around with all of them. You know, it's kind of like a proud dad moment.
Right,
you know,
right.
It's not that often you get to race with a NASCAR
Absolutely.
Person, you know? So, yeah, it was fun just to race with all of them. And then there's been a couple of times when he's gotten older, we've gone to pole position and I'm like, I'll do one race.
But you know your limits, right?
I know my limits. And it's just embarrassing because, you know, by lap two,
he's
gone past me.
He's already
like,
lapping you.
Yeah, it's just ridiculous. And then I fake that I'm sick.
Yeah,
and,
oh, man,
I
my leg,
you know,
I got
yeah,
cramp,
I
you know.
My leg hurts from hitting the throttle.
Right, right, exactly.
Mine always does, so don't worry
yeah,
about it.
Yeah, so.
No, that's cool, but, you know, from that pole position time where you had the carts, in your cul-de-sac, you must have good neighbors, by the way.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Complain.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it was at one point, a lot of the neighbors had come out because they couldn't believe this, like, little kid is in this cart
wow.
going, you know, over 30 miles an
yeah,
hour,
yeah.
you know. And I used to wake up and I'd sweep the whole entire cul-de-sac in street.
Oh, that's cool. That's
you know,
smart.
To make
yeah.
sure that there wasn't
clean.
Any debris
yeah.
or stuff out there. Because I, you know, God, I didn't want anything to happen, you
right.
know. I mean, this is supposed to be fun.
See, that's the stuff your kid probably don't remember you
no,
doing.
No,
getting out there early in the morning, sweeping
no,
everything.
No.
So
the only thing he remembers is me getting
yeah.
him up, getting breakfast, and coming outside. Then the carts are ready to go.
You
know?
This is Gary's dream, by the way. At 4 years old, somebody
yeah.
getting the cul-de-sac ready for him, feeding him breakfast, saying, come on,
go
racing.
Go race.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a dream of his, I can tell you that.
Roll out of bed and roll right into
right,
the cart.
Right into
hey.
The cart. Yeah, yeah.
Matter of fact, he's adopting, so don't ask.
Oh man, I wished.
No, that's cool. So you cleaned up the,
yeah,
the area.
Yeah, yeah. We made sure that
wow.
it was all tidied up, and there wasn't that many people that came down the cul-de-sac. So, you know, and then as progression went on, you know,
now did you limit is the cart that he was. Running around there with the
yeah
the
I limited it for a good month until I you know felt it was comfortable he could
okay.
go full throttle and you know he did a fantastic job at you know at that point he was full throttle and can control it and understood it and
right.
just understood everything you know and then you know as progression you know Dad'll take out the garden hose and squirt the.
Oh, this smart.
I squirt the cul-de-sac
yeah.
and he come flying around and just whip it all the way, drift the whole cul-de-sac
nice.
And just learn car control both sides, left, right. So
that's a cool story.
Yeah,
I mean you don't, you know, not too many people get that chance to experience that,
right.
especially at that age.
Right.
No, that's cool. You're able to get give him that experience that probably nobody else would have even thought of. You know?
Yeah.
So
yeah. And oh my goodness, just the amount of garbage that comes off the road. When, you,
oh,
know,
I imagine.
You know, he was just covered in black like dirt. I'm like, oh my goodness, like, and now I got to clean this little boy up. You know, it's like,
oh
so,
man.
But yeah, you know, just. You know, in some of that stuff, it wasn't by design. It was just, you know, let's see what he can do, you know.
Just kind of on a whim.
I'm just on a whim, you
yeah.
know. And then, you know, I squirt it and come flying around and you see this big grin, you know. It's like, oh, well, he likes it, so
yep,
let's do it
more.
You know? So,
cool.
But, you know, we pretty much for a full year got geared for the moment. To go out and race and really compete, you know,
right.
with our own stuff.
Well, do you remember the first time you actually practiced on the track? Did you, and was it at the LVMS
yeah.
track?
Yeah, it was at Las Vegas Motor Speedway. Yeah. It was at night. So it was actually
and
a transition.
Did you know anybody out there or anything?
I
had. Had you met them? Just because you probably went out and watched first and
well,
kind of asked
well,
questions.
Well, I met, I don't know if you know, Tim Ricker.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So I
Ricker,
bought,
yeah.
yeah so mm-hmm. I bought, so he started to, you know, fill out and
right.
started to grow. And I needed.
Oh, what age are we still?
So now we're talking five.
Okay.
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 So
start filling out at five.
Yeah. yeah okay. And he, you know, he needed a seat. And,
right.
And he was a little chunk meister, you know? And I needed a bigger seat, and so I bumped into Tim, bought a seat from him, and he kind of helped me, you know, while I was there. I didn't know anybody except for him.
At that time, did you know any of the flags or the procedures or anything like that? Or did you
I
read about it? Or
I just knew about the flags. There was a couple that I didn't know, but any kid under 16, they had to do, not only did you have a driver's meeting, but then you had a kid's driver's meeting.
Okay.
And so they went over the flags again, the blue flag, the meatball flag, which I, at the time, I didn't know what a meatball flag was.
I don't know what that is. So maybe you can educate us.
So a meatball flag is if, if you got, a bumper hanging or you got a body part hanging, they would throw the meatball flag at you. And it was black with a round ball in the center.
And that's where the
name. And then that means you get off the track and, cause you're in danger.
Right.
So the kids knew all of that. So he practiced really good, but at the time...
Were there other kids the similar age, same age?
So all the same age, five to seven.
Okay.
But there were some kids that were just like super fast.
Oh, yeah.
And I bought a brand new motor, but no one told me that, you need to send it off to get a blueprint.
No.
So, and then just the little tricks and stuff, I didn't know.
Right.
So of course I learned the hard way, and then there were some nice people out there. Earl West kind of helped out because Diesel was running at the same time, so he kind of helped me out with some stuff. So I sent the motor out, and after the first race, I was like, he needs to be competitive,
right?
So I did that and took some of his advice, and it's funny because the years of kid karting, he never won a race. The only thing he won was a hot dog eating contest.
Hey, that's still something.
Remember that he was filling out?
Yeah.
So you were good at that.
Yeah.
Do you remember the first time that you let him on the track for practice? I mean,
yeah.
Were you nervous? Were you confident?
I was a little nervous, but I was
at that point you had seat time.
It wasn't so much nervous. It was just excitement because, finally we're at this moment that, he gets to go out there and, race. So, and even just practicing, it was good. And he did good in both of the practices and then qualifying, he did well. And then the first heat came.
And this is the actual heat race.
This is the actual heat race.
And how do they do their heat races? They pair them up with the.
It was they line them up, just how they qualified.
Okay.
Put them all on the grid, and then they all go out. And he goes up on the grid, and he is bawling his eyes.
And you're like, oh man, what's
and
going
I'm
on?
Like, oh my goodness! I'm like, I can't believe this is happening. And
he probably don't want his friends to hear that story, but that's okay.
And it was and it was just so funny, here he is. It's like, he's done many races at pole position.
But that's a different anxiety.
Absolutely.
For a kid that age,
absolutely.
They haven't experienced
yeah.
that probably.
Yeah. So he's sitting on the grid just crying. We roll him back because I had a friend of mine. She was a race car driver,
right.
And she wanted to come out and help him. So he's just sitting there crying and crying, and like we're inching the car up and up and up,
right.
And then finally we just pushed him out there.
Yep, there
like,
you go.
Go out there.
Cry out there.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, exactly. Get it all
yeah.
out of there.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That's cool.
And then and then he came back in and
Of course, that crying turned a big smile on his face.
Yeah, exactly. And then, and then he went out.
Tears of smiling.
Yeah. Yeah. And then he did okay. And then he went out for the main, and everything was fine.
Sure.
So, I think it was the third or fourth race. Yeah, it was the third race. He came in second.
Wow, that's pretty.
So like
pretty
I'm
good accomplishment.
Like,
yeah,
like,
you're like man, he's getting there.
Yeah,
right?
I'm excited. Like he's like, so now I got to go to Tech, and like I've never been any part of that, and
either have I.
And so what was funny was you know, I had, you know, I had just gotten the motor back, and I had said to myself, like, if I'm going to send this motor out, I'm not going to deal with anybody here on the West Coast. I'm going to send it Midwest. So I send it out to Midwest. They send it back, and the thing's just lightning fast. So he comes in second, go to tech, and they're like, your motor's illegal.
Oh, no way.
I was like, he's disqualified. I was like, you're kidding me. So, and then Earl West came up and he goes, I could fix your problem. He goes, bring your motor over and I'll take care of it. And so he took care of it. And then,
do you know what made it illegal? Was it internal or?
It was, they used a different base gasket.
Oh, okay.
And so, like, of something course, that, it brought
and
the
you didn't know. I mean,
I didn't
new,
know. Like, I had
the first, yeah.
No, I could barely mix the fuel. You know, never mind,
right,
like,
exactly.
What the motor is, you know? So,
well, that's cool.
But, so yeah, and then, you know, it just got better and better for him. Right. So, but like I said, in the kid car, he didn't win anything. And then I move him up, and then that's where the winning starts to happen.
The way they did it was by age, I guess, at that point.
Right.
But when you move up, do they still go by age, or now they start going by weight?
So they
and age?
So from 50cc, it's 5 to 7 or 8, mm-hmm. and then you move up to 80cc, and you go from 8 to 12. So once he got the more power, and because he was a little bit heavier, that's when things started to happen.
So at that time, are you looking at, like, hey, because there's so many different good carts manufacturers
mm-hmm.
out there. I mean, you're looking at certain manufacturer carts that you preferred based off of what you've seen out there.
So I was looking at my budget.
Right. you got to be able to afford
or
almost afford what you want.
Yeah. And I happened.
You started out all wrong.
Chris and Tommy Trickle mm-hmm. were starting to transition over to the Bullring, and all of their stuff was for sale.
Oh, cool.
So Matt Johnson had bought 3 of their carts, and so I bought one from him.
Oh, cool.
And those carts were lightning,
right?
You know, many championships between
top of the line,
line stuff. And then Matt and Zach Wordsford were working together, so you know, and then Zach started to help out too. So, so at that point, you know, moving him up, and he just took to it and was like lightning fast.
Wow.
So, you know, he got to the point where he was beating the other manufacturer, the Rotex, and people were like,
what were some of the big names at that time? You said Rotex. I mean, what?
So we had the Comer Motors,
okay,
and then you had the Rotex, and which they were called Micro Minis, and then he just started cleaning up.
Wow.
And people were like,
"Well, now you start having some eyes on."
Yeah, by the end of the season, like, everything had gone from a Micro Max to a Comer 80, and so, because they saw what he was doing.
Oh. Well, just follow the leader. You know, everybody wants to do what's fast.
Yeah, and then
you're passing tech at this time.
Yeah,
no
by
problem.
This time, yeah, by this time, like, I'm good. Like, I know what's going on. You know, so
and a lot of people don't see what's involved. There's a lot involved in when you do the karting and stuff. I've been out there quite a few times just to experience it. And we actually, me and my kid, thought about getting into some karting and stuff.
Yeah.
But this is a little later. But did you ever think about doing any racing yourself?
No.
How about with the email? The L206.
Yeah,
like, that's
no.
the division I thought about doing.
Yeah.
Or my speed.
So I didn't want to get involved just because of, you know, the budget,
sure.
You know. And
well, yeah,
I didn't want to take away. Right. Like, I'd rather, if I had a dollar, like, I'd give it to him.
Right.
You know, you know, that's just how it was. And he was just doing very well, you know, like.
At this point, five.
So
six,
now we're going into like 8, 9, 10 years
moving
old.
Okay,
so we're like
80s.
Progressing. Yeah.
Cool.
So the first year in the Comer 80, he won the championship. championship.
Oh, nice.
So in
how many races do they have in a season?
It was like 14. It
wow.
was a, yeah,
good,
it was like 14.
Huh?
Yeah, yeah. In,
and this is all at the.
The this
track
is all
at the.
Yeah, this is all okay. at the. Yeah, we
behind the. The
yeah, behind the bowl ring. Yeah. So and I just
at that time, did you realize the bowl ring existed over there?
I did.
Okay.
I did.
Well, sometimes you know you get involved
yeah.
with one thing and you don't realize what's around
right,
you.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, like we knew what was going on with that,
but you weren't involved with the bowl ring at all.
No,
at that
no.
time.
I mean, yeah. we would go and see Diesel race
yeah,
and
Swatch
some of the other kids
cool.
that had you know bigger budgets that were
yeah.
able to get.
And at that time, budget was big,
huge
kind of a
yeah.
equalizer for you.
Absolutely,
okay.
absolutely. So like we would go and see that, and it wasn't anything that he wanted to do. He wasn't interested
right.
in
at that
time.
Yeah, well, karting,
you know?
I mean, obviously has been part of his whole life at that point.
Right.
And it sounds funny to us because we got a lot of years in our life.
yeah.
and, yeah. That was his
yeah.
whole life at that point.
Right.
So
and
that's cool.
And like I said, I had watched Formula One and there was something that I had said to him that really stuck to him. Was I said, you know, Michael Schumacher uses karting to stay sharp. And once I said that to him, that was it. He stopped watching NASCAR. Everything was Formula One.
Wow.
And so that's what he always liked, you know, he always
wow.
liked going right and left
mm-hmm.
just because of the challenge and,
right,
you know,
right.
the different, you know, techniques and stuff like that. So, and then just the passion, like even off the track was, you know, I go in this room and he's watching YouTube of, you know,
yeah.
Schumacher, you know, Fernando Alonso, Ayrton Senna,
wow.
Just other races, you know? And so I just saw the drive and the passion and then never mind when you put the helmet on, like it was like
just made it even
it, yeah
even
and like he was such a fierce competitor in the karts it was like just don't get in his way
wow
you know and even and I'll never forget when he like figured out like how to really tell me what's wrong with the car
that
was like
that's an epiphany moment
yeah
right?
it was like
that's crazy
he was nine and he's like it's loose. It just keeps stepping out. And I was like,
that's cool. That's a good moment.
You know, we're 9 years old giving feedback. And so I'm like,
now you got to do your
yeah,
part.
Yeah.
Okay, now how do I fix
it? Let me go
do
this.
Yeah,
do you look on YouTube
yeah.
how to fix it?
yeah, exactly. I'm like, what do I do? You know? So,
right.
You know, and thank God at the time I had Matt Johnson and Woodsford and, they kind of helped me out
right.
with that stuff. And,
you had a meeting with him behind the trailer. hey, look, my kid's telling me this.
Yeah,
really?
Exactly.
What
don't
I...
let him see me asking you these
yeah.
questions.
Yeah. I'm like, what am I supposed to do? You know? But, yeah, so like I knew I was kind of onto something and it was something, it was something that I love to do out there
right.
too, you know, 'cause I'm with him, you know, and we never stopped.
Right.
Like we just continued to go to the track, you know? And we went all the way until he was 15 and then, you know, the track closed.
Right. Yeah. And that's unfortunate for the track. And I don't know if they've actually found a location yet
yeah.
or not. I know they've been looking and
yeah.
they had some great prospects for a little while.
Yeah.
Of course, Rickert and his son heavily involved in trying to, come
right.
up with the location
yeah.
and all that, and so hopefully they find something.
Yeah,
you know, somebody will step up eventually.
Yeah,
you know, because the karting world needs it here.
Oh
locally.
Yeah, definitely,
absolutely.
And it's such you know, you could start at 5 years old racing
yeah.
a kart.
No,
and
that's cool. You know, we joke about like the young drivers and like the Bandoleros and stuff like that, but it goes even younger than that with
yeah.
the karting world.
Right,
so.
Right. And that's one thing that, you know, Las Vegas doesn't have. And let's face it, like we have some talented people that have come out of here. And
right.
as you
oh,
guys know, you
yeah.
know, and there's more talent out there. And that's what's crazy. And you know, if when you watch NASCAR, right. I mean, it's you know, half the field, you know, like right. when, and especially like when Brendan Gaughan's there, like you got yeah. Brendan and you know the Bush brothers,
oh,
and
yeah.
you got Noah, and
oh, yeah.
never
yeah.
mind all the other people
right.
that have come out of here, and it's just it's amazing, and it's and one thing that we have here is good weather,
right?
So you can race almost
year round.
Yeah.
yeah, pretty much.
I mean, our karting season started in December.
Mm-hmm.
It stopped in July for a month,
right?
And then from August to December, like we were racing.
Yeah.
You know, you can't do that anywhere.
No,
else.
Exactly. You can't,
you know?
The weather permitting.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I do have to say, within the formula world, you probably couldn't have picked a better name than Enzo.
Yeah.
I mean, that just sounds like a Formula One racer name to me. So, you know, that's pretty cool. I guess we'll get to Enzo. We'll give you a chance to speak here. So we didn't forget about you. Do you remember any of these stories starting at 40 yards, the cul-de-sac?
Oh, yeah,
did you peek out your window watching your dad sweep the cul-de-sac?
I think I did a couple times. I think I remember one time I helped him sweep the rocks.
Yeah.
But that was about it. I remember in the little
That's just because you couldn't sleep that morning.
Yeah,
yeah. I was so excited. Like, get me in there. But I remember in the Power Wheels, we used to have chairs, and he would stack them, and I would just go and run into the chairs. And it would just be so fun.
You know, that's cool that you're able to come up with different ways to keep it fun, but at the same time, given the experience, so you know, whether you're wetting down the cul-de-sac or whatever. But did you remember like some of those times where, hey, my dad went to track, I'm gonna drift this thing?
I actually asked him to do it.
Okay. Hey, Dad, yeah, give me a challenge, right?
Yeah.
This is boring. Give me a challenge.
Yeah, and this is 4 years old, by the way. Cool. Do you remember like when you went to pole position? And
I remember him saying, just do that little tippy toe thing.
Right.
And I remember hitting the bush too. That was fun. It was fun because I flew up off the curb, just went over the bush, and then came back down. And then he's like, get in the house now.
Yeah, now, son, you're not supposed to like that part of it, yeah. even though that was probably fun.
Duplicate that on video.
At the time, he's not thinking YouTube yet. No, that's cool. Did you feel like you were learning something, or just were out there having fun?
Well, out there having fun was definitely like the biggest part of it. But like when I was watching, I was like, ooh, I want to like be like those people. Like,
right.
I want to drive race cars. And I remember he asked me, he had Formula One on, and he was like, you want to do that? And he's like, yeah. I was like, yeah. And then like that's when he got the go-kart, and we went out
that's
and
cool.
raced.
Yeah.
I think that was what really started it all.
Well, luckily it wasn't hockey or something else like that.
Yeah.
No. You do play other sports, I'm assuming,
yeah,
in school
I
and stuff
baseball.
Like that. Oh, baseball.
Yeah.
Okay. You like playing baseball?
I mean, I definitely.
Not as much as racing.
Yeah, I definitely prioritize racing.
Okay. So going back to like the pole position, getting out there, did you feel like when you're out there kicking some butt, that you this was something that you knew you were going to be doing
because I'm not sure like what those other kids like were doing, like what they
right.
do they race karts, and like there'd be some kids that were kind of fast, but I'd still be like, okay, new challenge.
And you're watching your times probably at this point. Did you feel the lines on the track, like, hey, this one worked better than the last one? And
I think I just learned that over time though,
right?
I like not when I go out there, it's like, oh, okay, I got to do this, and
right,
this.
Not
it's
trying
just,
to repeat it yet. You're just out
yeah,
there making
just
it
wheeling,
go.
Wheeling the cart.
Okay.
Trying to go as fast as I can. That was about it, though.
Do you remember the first moments, like when you first hit the track? I mean, do you remember crying that time?
I actually don't remember crying.
That's okay. That's,
oh, I do.
Those are tears of joy, by the way. But do you remember your first time hitting in a competition in the race, you know, an actual racetrack in your kart?
I don't remember my first time, actually.
What is the earliest you remember on the racetrack?
I definitely remember kid karts. I remember he has a photo
okay.
of me coming down the front stretch, and there, in the background, there's a big Coca-Cola logo.
No.
And it says, like,
couldn't be better for,
yeah.
for work, right?
I actually planned that.
No, okay. Smart.
And it was like such a cool picture because I'm like this little kid, like I can't see over,
right.
So I have to look to the size of the cart. So I'm like peeking my head out, just trying to see where I'm going.
That is cool.
Yeah. And then, like, as I got in, like, to the Comer 80, and when...
That's when you started kind of realizing what's
mm-hmm.
happening more.
Yeah. And then that's when I just loved racing. Like, I'd always want to go out and be like, when's the next race? When's the next race? And then...
At that point, you're feeling the track. You know where your lines are. You know
mm-hmm.
you're trying to repeat this. And you're conveying, hey, this is what this is doing.
Mm-hmm.
And your dad's obviously learning, too, how to fix it.
Yeah. Yeah, I was learning. There was one day, and he was 10. I vividly remember this. So one of the courses that he was really good was every single turn that they did. And he came in one practice, and he's like, he goes, that corner over there, the next time I go out, I'm going to go low, I'm going to go to the middle, and then I'm going to go to the high. I'm going to see which one is faster. So now we're at 10 years
old.
This
is 10 years old. That's, that's amazing, by the way.
And I stood, I had a barrel that I turned over. I used to stand on and I watched him and he went low, middle, top. And he came back in and he goes, sticking with the low.
So you feel like the low line
at
that time.
Yeah.
Cool.
I mean, it was,
well, that's amazing to have that insight at that age.
Yeah.
So Enzo, did you learn that from watching TV and watching the,
I'd seen like how in races they would take different lines, but like in a racing aspect, but I don't think I realized that.
Just like, why are they doing that?
Right.
They're doing it for some reason.
But now you're actually being able to feel
The,
you know, what you're hearing on
the,
whether it's on TV or something like that. Now you're feeling the difference, why they're hitting it high and low and all that. So, well, that's pretty cool. Do you remember your first win out there?
No.
I mean, was that
I do remember the season though. It was like I couldn't be stopped, like that kind of feeling.
But you got a championship.
Yeah.
I mean, that must have been, you know, pretty rewarding, I guess, for you to get championship. Cause that's a year's worth, a season's worth of hard work you guys put into it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know,
I mean, I think there was even one time like the budget was getting real thin that I ate bologna sandwiches for a couple of weeks just to get enough, you know, for entry. I mean, it may sound silly, but like,
no, hey, we all can relate. You know, racing, sometimes we go crazy because we put the race first, but we know, you know, we know we're gonna get by.
You know, and it's,
but I think that makes the win
that much sweeter.
Better.
Right? Yeah,
yeah,
you feel it. It means more.
Yeah,
and Enzo probably liked bologna sandwiches. It did better than him. So.
Well, he was at his mom's house, so I was able to eat bologna.
Oh, he's eating steak at mom's
house.
Yeah,
bologna
sandwiches.
He don't know that part, but that's okay.
No.
He didn't realize that,
right?
Hey, the wins are that much more sweeter for your dad when he wins. So.
Yeah, no, it was. It was, you know, when he got the first championship, and then just terror, just win, if like second, like to me, like if the cart was crappy and you got second place, like it just wasn't good enough,
right?
You know,
what was the moment though when you decided to make the switch to oval track racing? I mean, was there a certain moment, or did you just kind of happened?
So how it happened is when the cart when
the track
that
went away.
So so now we're in December, and I knew that road course season in Legends was going on.
Right.
So I reached out to a couple people to see if I could maybe rent one.
Is that something that you wanted to do? I mean, you knew about the Legends, of course, and seen them out there.
Right. I just wanted to get in a car because I was just
something,
seeing,
right? And, and it's local,
yeah.
So you don't have to travel somewhere to get to it. Okay.
Right. And so so I reached out to a couple people just to see if I could get him in one, and there wasn't anything available. So I had, you know, I had gone down there, just walked around, and a friend of mine that I worked with at the Petty Driving Experience, because I worked there for 14 years part time.
Oh, cool.
And you know, I met a lot of people.
Right.
You know, Cindy being
one
of them. And I worked with a gentleman by the name of Chris Pulliam, and he had seen me, and he's like, hey, what are you doing? I go, oh, I'm thinking about getting a legend, and he was working with Dustin Ash.
Oh, cool.
And so I talked with Dustin. He goes, well, if you want something, I'll get you something, But the budget was kind of...
Right. And again, they're up there. Yeah, it's a big investment.
Yeah. And so I had...
thinking bologna sandwiches, a cup of noodles.
Right,
maybe.
Right, right. And ramen, and split it in half.
Right, split it in half.
Yeah.
Make it last twice as long.
So, so that was a Saturday, and he had a baseball game. And so we went home, got ready for baseball, and I'm sitting in a chair, and he's playing the game. And my phone, and it was Chris sending pictures of a legend that was
cool.
for sale, along with the trailer. And then Jody Diaguerra, he was sending me pictures. He's like, you got to get this. So I'm like, wow, I'm like, goodness, I can't make it right now.
Right.
You know, like,
in the middle,
yeah. And so so I contacted Brian Kaiser was selling it at the time, and it was Jeff King's car. And I was like, hey, listen, I'm in the middle of a baseball game. I can't make it down there, but I would love to talk to you. So we went Sunday morning, and he's like, hey, Jeff can't see the track no more. He said, just get rid of it. So, so we talked with him and worked out a deal, and I ended up getting
Pretty
that.
Cool.
And so, when I bought it, Chris came over to, took a look at it, did a couple of things. And then a couple weeks later, they were going to do just an open test just
right.
for legends.
Sure.
And so we put them out there, and I wasn't nervous about that. I was just kind of
different. Yeah. It's not karting, and
right.
you're talking about a whole different your race vehicle.
Yeah.
I mean, you had to get it race suit and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Different than the karting.
Yeah.
Suit
we had, we had most of the
some
stuff.
Of the, okay.
Yeah. Like, we had the shoes and the gloves, cause I had bought it when I was working at the Petty Driving
okay.
Experience. It was still brand new
right.
stuff. And then Ethan, had outgrown his
oh, yeah.
suit. And
so
that was
good timing.
And that was pretty much brand new. And Joe's like,
cool. Wow.
So I was like, oh, you're a lifesaver.
Yeah, exactly.
And so we put him on the track, and he ran really well.
Nice. What did you think at that time, Ethan?
Just thinking, get me off this oval. I don't want to race.
You really? Well, because yeah. you're used to doing a long course left,
yeah.
right? And,
mm-hmm.
and so you're thinking, what, oval's just boring?
Yeah.
Or, I mean, just wasn't, you didn't.
Yeah, but at the same time, I knew it was a challenge.
Right.
Like. Just I wanted to get faster because
now looking back, there's a lot more to making it go in circles than you think.
Yeah,
right?
Definitely.
Yeah. So we do this test, and he's running times that are pretty comparable to what
nice.
Everybody else was running.
That's cool. That's
so
not an easy task.
Yeah. So now we're like, oh my goodness. So now we're gonna put them in a race.
The
know?
Challenge is on.
Now the challenge is on. So we run our first race, and of course he goes a lap down.
Well, and expected, when you get in a race situation, never raced a legend before. What was going through your head at that time?
I was just thinking. I don't remember what I was thinking.
You're thinking, man, I can run faster, man. This is not fun.
I just remember, I should be with those guys in the front. I shouldn't be back here.
Right.
Am I old enough to swear yet?
Yeah, exactly.
That's what he's
saying. Well, he knew he was old enough to swear. Dad didn't know he was old enough
did
to
he,
swear.
Did he cry in the first leg?
No.
Oh.
At least he didn't let you know about it.
Yeah.
He was crying when he was getting laughed.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, and
what the hell are you doing to me, Dad? I'm getting laughed here.
Yeah.
I'm used to going fast.
And I'll tell you what, the first time he went out, I forgot to latch the hood.
Oh, shoot.
So all of a sudden we're in the parade lap and this hood goes flying.
I think I've seen that match.
I'm like, this hood goes flying. And Dustin looks at me. He goes, you forgot to latch the hood. I go, no, I swear I did it. And sure enough, yeah, I did it. Yeah. The pins were still stuck.
Deny.
Yeah. Yeah. But he had never raced with that many cars.
Right.
And so my hands are completely numb. Like I'm freaking out. I'm like,
yeah.
just bring it home in one piece, please.
Right. Well, at the end,
and at the end, did Legends run spotters?
Were you spotting? No.
That's probably a good thing, right?
Yeah. Well, and you know, and Dustin's philosophy was like, no, you don't. Here's a new spotter. Let him go do it.
Right.
You know, and that's been the motto. So,
right.
He went out there and, you know, stunk up the show. First time.
You know, it happens. But you guys actually did some road course racing in Legends, and that was kind of more your forte, isn't it? So what was the first chance that you got onto the road course with the Legend? I mean, was that planned, or is that something that just happened?
So, of course, in Legends, there's a few different motor packages.
Right.
So we ran the 1250 for the
whole.
That's
the air-cooled.
That's the air-cooled one. And then I sat with Dustin and Chris, and they're like,
"You got to go water cooled."
They're like, "You need if you want."
And now you're thinking, "Okay, bologna sandwiches."
Yeah.
I already went to the half ramen noodles. What do I go to now?
Yeah.
Forget the bread, bologna with a toothpick. Yeah.
So I sat with them, and they're like, "If you want to be competitive, you need to go water cooled." So I went and I was like, take the car apart, go get the motor. Let's get this done.
Yeah.
So, cause I knew that, here we go. Like this is where he should be.
Right.
So they did a phenomenal job.
Did you know any of this while it was happening that you knew it went air cooled, the water cooled and all that?
Yeah. I knew that they were switching out the engines.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
And it was just, in like 6 days they had tore this car apart completely, put a new front clip on, put this motor in,
everything. Wow.
And then we went out first weekend, and I wasn't expecting.
And this was on the oval?
No.
So this is on the road course.
No, this is on the road course.
First time on the road
course.
First time on the road course, and...
I'm like, what is this kid doing? Like, it was just, it was a crap show. I'm serious.
Did you remember that? You're like, this thing was not handling?
No, it was completely me. I just.
You really? You just weren't used to this? Because you're used to a cart. It's open.
Yeah.
Now you're enclosed. You're, you know, that's a whole different. So, no kidding. Well, it's interesting.
Yeah.
Like,
and just, you know, he.
And you're probably like, well, what's wrong with the car?
I'm like, what is he doing? Like, I spent all this money, a brand new motor, and he's out there like off roading it, hitting other people. People are hitting him. I'm like, what's going on here?
Right.
Like, I was just like, this is just ridiculous.
This ain't happening.
Yeah, I'm like, I can't believe this is happening to me, you know. And I'm like, what's going on? Like, you know. And then.
When did it finally click? I guess was it one or two races in, or
I think it was the second day, right?
Tell them about the second weekend.
Okay, what happened?
tell them who came out.
So the second weekend we had Noah Gregson come out.
Oh, okay. So, he might know a little something. Yeah,
just a little bit, and he definitely helped. He's like, man, you just got to drive the car. I'm like, okay. And then,
did you know what he meant when he told you to? You just got to drive that car.
Because I think I was holding back just because like.
Well, so it's a new experience, different.
And it was like a brand new car because they rebuilt everything.
Right, and you don't know the limits yet at the time.
So I'm still exploring that.
Cool.
And then he was just like, just go. Just send it. Do whatever you got to do to make it go fast. I'm like, okay. And then
Did you see stuff clicking at that time?
It was
not yet.
It was amazing.
The night and day. Okay.
Yeah. Cool.
I think the next session, did I go faster?
Yeah, So he goes out for practice, and then Dustin's like, hey, can Noah jump in? I was like,
go ahead.
Whatever he wants to do, I don't care.
Exactly.
Like, it doesn't matter to me. And so so Noah went out there, and Noah came back, and he's like, this is the best Legend car I've ever driven.
No way. Oh, wow. So now that's got to give you some confidence.
Yeah.
Like, okay, this cart should handle.
Yeah. So
I'm sorry, the car. I can't call it car, but the car should handle.
Yeah. So then, so Noah came in, and then he jumped in for the second practice session, and he came back and he picked up 5 seconds.
Wow! Amazing.
Yeah. completely amazing. And then it just, that was it. It just.
Now, Noah could have been telling you that just to get you to do the things you should be
doing.
And it
worked. And it worked.
Yeah. 5 seconds.
Picked up 5 seconds. It worked.
Yeah, it was. It was pretty amazing.
Wow.
And then.
Did you tell? I mean, you got to feel like, man, this thing is handling. You know when at least we think we all know when something's handling like it's supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
You felt good about it.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. So Noah was out all weekend and he jumped in. I was like, just jumping in whenever. And then Sunday came and it had rained on that Sunday night. And so we get out there and the track is soaked and they're like, go.
So they still race with
the
wet
still
track?
Racing.
Okay.
Yeah. And
well, they use DOT Bridgestone tires, so I guess that makes sense.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And it's more something you see on road course, obviously, than mm-hmm.
right.
you
right.
don't see that on oval.
Yeah, and so he went out in the rain. I was like, oh, my goodness. Like, I'm freaking out. Like, hands numb again. I'm like, don't go off the track.
Right.
Please don't go off the track. And he was third fastest.
Nice.
The first time out there, and then Noah got out there, and then he went to the top of the board because he's phenomenal in the rain. So,
that wet cul-de-sac came in handy.
Yeah, it sure did.
There you go, right?
It sure did. And then that was the part of the whole entire road course season.
And you actually won a championship that season, is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And didn't you just recently win a road course race?
So the last weekend, he was third in points, and then he won Saturday's race, and he won Sunday's race, and then he got the championship.
Oh,
wow.
So, yeah, it was.
During the road course races, though, you're still racing oval track, aren't you?
After oval is over, then it goes right to the road course.
So it's a different season.
Different
season. They don't cross into each other. Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know. I didn't know what the schedules are like.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so he won. So he won that whole entire weekend, and then he went from third to first. And
wow. Well, that must have been a moment for you, knowing that those finishes put you on the top.
Yeah.
At the top level, huh?
And it was crazy because, like, I wasn't even like expecting it, and you know, after that Sunday race and everybody went up for for the awards and stuff, and they called him, oh my goodness, he got it. And then the rookie of the year, and then the plaques,
that's
cool. Winter plaques, and
so now you're thinking all the bologna sandwiches paid off. This legendary
Top Ramen.
Do you like the legends compared to now you're liking it?
I absolutely love it.
What about the oval track? You think you're going to start liking that more and more?
Oh, yeah, I already do.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Yeah, I love the oval. It's just.
Did you get how many? Of course, we're out of time, but we're going to have you guys back because, we want to give you more time and all that. But
how about next
week?
How about next week?
Maybe.
Okay.
Depends.
Okay.
Possibly.
We got to get with
Cindy. Sponsors real quick that you want to talk about that sponsor you?
Oscar Mayer.
Yeah, we don't have an Oscar Mayer, but I just want to thank, Dustin Nash, been a key instrumental part of what we do. So if it wasn't for him, he's put a phenomenal car underneath him. So I can't thank him enough.
Well, Dustin Ash is probably one of the best out there to be able to set up these legends.
Yeah.
You got a good person on your side.
Yeah.
Of course, we're out of time. We'll have you back. We'll let you know for sure when, but we'll have you back. We didn't get enough Enzo. So we're looking forward to seeing you. We don't know when the next ratings are going to be, so keep an eye out at lbms.com. But we'll see you live for the next Tuesday at 6 p.m. at onwheelsnow.com. Thanks, Mark.
Thanks again. Thanks for having us, guys. We really appreciate it.
Definitely want to have you guys back in person once.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks
for coming in. Thanks for listening.